Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, The Aviation Maintenance Industry. I am your host, Brian Wheels. This podcast, well, let's call this the first introductory bonus podcast to get back on the road of things. You know, how things were kind of were heading in the direction of what it was. This episode is discussing my experience during the COVID pandemic within the first 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks that COVID hit the U.S. and what we were experiencing as aircraft mechanics during that time. So I want you to keep that in context when you're listening to this. This is going to be a very contentious podcast. This goes all the way back, this recording, to 2021. And again, this was me describing what was going on with us mechanics during those first few weeks that COVID really hit the U.S. And it wasn't yet very much understood what it was going to do to this country. So again, keep that in mind when you listen to the context of that. Remember that it was during the first initial weeks of COVID, and it was a very, very scary and rough time, especially for us mechanics, the cabin crews, the flight crews. But again, this is going to be a contentious podcast. I was on the fence about releasing it, to be quite honest with you, because there's going to be people who do not like what I have to say. I call a spade. So stay tuned. After this obscene sponsor break, we're going to jump right into the original 2021 archive podcast about my experiences as an aircraft mechanic during COVID. Stay tuned. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I am discussing the COVID pandemic and how it has affected the aviation maintenance industry and what I experienced as an aircraft mechanic during the worst part of it at the beginning. So first, let me start off with this. I know COVID has affected other industries, businesses big and small, and people. And I understand that and empathize with those affected. So this podcast is not to take away or minimize the effect that the pandemic has had on anyone else within aviation, outside of aviation, but because this is a podcast that talks about aviation maintenance, that is what this podcast is going to pertain to. So it is difficult to overstate the effect COVID has had on commercial aviation and the aviation maintenance industry. About 70% of the global aircraft fleet were put out of service and parked. Aircraft lined the runways of almost any airport that would have them, and thousands of aviation employees lost their jobs. Pre-COVID, MROs nationwide made about $43.5 billion, not including the separate services for engines, components, back shops, and overhaul. But post-COVID, MROs have averaged about $23.2 billion, so that's not great. And the airlines have been very much so affected, at a loss of about $314 billion across the board. To this date, it might even be twice that. So there is no recovery playbook for this pandemic, and history has offered us little in the way of guidance as to how aviation might recover. I remember when the COVID story first broke overseas. Remember the news media downplaying it, that it wouldn't reach the United States, that this was just going to be an overseas issue. The guys in the shop were still like, wow, that really sucks. You know, we hope it doesn't travel to the U.S. If it gets over here, we're really screwed. And man, we ate our words, because soon after, the first cases within the United States started making the news. And aircraft maintenance is primarily driven by flight hours, cycles, routine and non-routine work. And if the aircraft aren't active, if they're not flying, then the maintenance demand is lowered. And in the early days of COVID, the news had described it as a very bad flu, and there was nothing to worry about. But then over the period of days, it started getting worse and worse and worse. And about 2 weeks into COVID having spread to the U.S., I started seeing flights drop dramatically. Whereas we averaged generally between 250, 300 flights a day, in those first 2 weeks, flights dropped to about 250 max. It was then I started my own research into seeing how I could protect myself best as an aircraft mechanic, but at that point, there still hadn't been a lot of research done, so there was still a lot about COVID that was not understood. And the reason why this is important is that about 40% of discrepancies and write-ups are interior issues. Again, that makes up about 40% of maintenance gate calls. This is either replacing soiled or broken seatbelts, soiled or broken seats, fixing seats, replacing seat cushions, fixing seatback tray tables, repairing trim, light bulbs, covers, decals, fixing the lavatory. So interior discrepancies on the line is not a glamorous job at all. And it's not like every day we get to do heavy wrenching or troubleshooting on an aircraft. Sometimes it's just day in, day out, shitty interior calls. And that's one day where you have nothing but interior calls and get another day where you get to do other stuff. But that's not always the case. So about week 4 of COVID in the U.S., on my way to work in the morning, I'm listening to the radio, and they start talking about Southwest having 70% fewer flights. And United Airlines was about the same. And I'm thinking, holy crap. But then I thought to myself, I said, it can't be that bad, right? And again, I ate my words because as soon as I got to the line office, everybody was in an uproar. I noticed that our flights dropped off overnight. The terminal was pretty much abandoned. There was no one around. And this happened within literally a day's time. And it was crazy. And so I got to talking to the guys. And one of the fellows, he said, you see this stuff in a movie. You don't see this stuff happen in real life, or you don't think it's going to happen in real life. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Then we started discussing the dreaded possibility of layoffs. And it was on everyone's mind. And then things started changing quickly. Then we asked ourselves, how do we as aircraft mechanics protect ourselves? Besides masks and gloves, what information do we have to keep ourselves safe? And then the company sent out several emails warning us that COVID had been transmitted through air travel and that there were passengers that had COVID that had traveled on our aircraft. And remember, this was still before they started spraying the aircraft and sanitizing the aircraft and implementing all these disinfectant strategies. This was all before that. So here we are. Now it's becoming a really huge concern. We're wondering, how do we deal with the damn interior calls, such as soiled seatbelts, seat cushions, fixing lavatories, all that stuff where, the flying public have their hands on, things that they're touching. And we have no way of knowing, was there someone on this aircraft that had COVID or not? It became an even greater concern. And throughout that week, I went and visited several other airline maintenance offices. And they too were in the same boat. They had flights reduced, pending layoff concerns, lack of sanitation in the office and on the aircraft. They even had employees developing COVID symptoms. So when we did have gate calls, every conversation with the crew was about COVID and what we were going to do. And at first it was, it was like, okay, team effort. What do we do as a team? Most of the crew were very receptive to the mechanics having to deal with interior write-ups and the exposure that we have to COVID, potentially. The flight attendants were generally very receptive to that as well, and they tried not to write up. And many of them made a good effort not to write up a bunch of frivolous bullshit. But then, unfortunately, fighting began between crew who were not receptive and the mechanics. Some crew demanded hand sanitizer from the line office, and we weren't going to give it to them. And they were demanding it because they said they were in direct exposure with passengers, but we didn't have any to give them. And at that point in the country, good luck trying to find hand sanitizer. So the crew would make comments like, well, we have to fly with these people and they might be infected. And my response to that was, hey, sure, you have to fly with them, but think about it. Anyone that has COVID on this aircraft, they're not up here sitting in your lap flying the plane. Anyone who would happen to have COVID is sitting in those seats. They're shitting in that lavatory. Hopefully they're washing their hands in that sink, putting their body in their hands all over the seats and the seat back trays. You know what? When that stuff breaks, maintenance has to fix it. We're the ones that are exposed to it to a greater degree than you are. We had to make that argument with the crew. And it's like, you have to fly with them, sure. You're nice and cozy up here in the flight deck. How about the flight attendants? They're more exposed to passengers with COVID than the flight crew. How about the flight attendants, man? They have to deal directly with someone who could have the COVID virus. And every once in a while, you get a gate call for seat requires COVID sanitizing. And we hadn't come up with any procedure for this. This is before they started spraying aircraft and had sanitizing procedures in effect for cleaning the interior. So when we get a discrepancy, seat requires COVID sanitizing, we didn't know what to do with it. So we'd ask the lead, we asked the supervisor, neither of them knew. It's like, well, call maintenance control. So you call maintenance control and you'd ask them, how do you want us to deal with this? And it got so bad where they're like, you can replace the seat cushions and call it good, but I'm not going to disinfect your seat. Not happening, especially at this point in time, I'm not disinfecting it. And believe me, there were some crews that would call the line office and complain if we didn't sanitize a damn seat. Our jobs were already difficult enough, especially now with this COVID shit flying around. Nobody wanted to do any interior calls. They didn't want to fix seats, replace seat belts, cushions, tray tables. They didn't want to deal with the lavatory. And I don't blame them. I didn't want to do it. I did not want to touch anything within the interior of the aircraft. And there were other guys refusing interior calls outright. At first, the company would send out its not-so-bad emails. Oh, it's not so bad, you know, we're learning, it's just like the flu, it's not so bad. Really? People are now starting to die because of this. It's not that bad. They did a great job at underplaying the severity of COVID. In their defense, they didn't know exactly how bad COVID was. A few weeks prior, this shit was overseas, and it wasn't in the United States. It got to the point where, if it came to a usual common interior job, we were just MELing the entire seat. If it was a seat issue, we were MELing it. If it was a seat belt, we were MELing it. It was a tray table. Look, either you don't have a tray table, if the passenger gripes and moans about it, we're MELing it. If it's the lavatory and the other lavatory is good, we're MELing it. That's just how bad it got because we didn't know, besides wearing a mask and gloves, how could this stuff still travel through the mask? I mean, we didn't know this stuff. There was a lot of fear, and rightfully so. So again, we just started MEL and stuff. I mean, and hell, if it was the entire row of seat, it was MEL'd. That's how bad it got. Too much unknown. Mechanics were not going to jeopardize themselves for the comfort of the passenger. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it was. Now, some of you are going to write me and say, hey, that's bullshit. Why wouldn't you jeopardize your life for a passenger sitting in that seat? Because I have a family that I want to go home to? Are you going to stick your head under that seat to fix a recline mechanism? Laying on that dirty damn floor where all the spit and throw up and blood and puke and snot are at? How do you know that any of that stuff doesn't have COVID on it? And again, at that time, how did we know that it wasn't going to be transmitted to us through contact with that crap? And now that we know it can be, I don't blame one mechanic who refused an interior job. I don't blame one of them. And if there's any airline reps out there like, oh, this guy's a retard, f*** you. There are many mechanics who are like, I'm drawing the line at not exposing myself to COVID shit doing interior jobs. Back on point. The internal discussions about layoffs started to resurface. And we've seen the managers having more frequent conference calls and then go from like 2 conference calls to 4 conference calls in a day. And they'd come out of their office with this expression like, uh-oh, you know, something's going on. And then the rest of us were like, hey, what did you guys talk about? Oh, nothing. Everything's good. I'm like, no, what's really going on? What's the company going to do for us? How are we going to protect ourselves? What's the latest and greatest? Well, you know, everything's just kind of status quo. you just got that impression that something was going to happen. You know, after that, Southwest was one of the first to start laying off employees, followed by American Airlines. ATS, one of the largest MROs in the country, began laying off folks. So the writing was on the wall. And one by one, airlines and MROs all over began laying off or furloughing their employees in preparation for the worsening pandemic. And I had several discussions with guys about week 7 of this pandemic in the U.S. And instantly, the rumor mill had already started boiling over. Things like, we're done for, we're out of a job, the company's going under, we're going to be like everyone else. Start putting out those resumes. There's a few guys saying that. Start putting out your resumes. Like, for what? Aviation is taking a crap, man. Who's going to hire us? Who's going to hire an aircraft mechanic when other aircraft mechanics are losing their jobs left and right? So again, the writing was on the wall. The company sent out another email stating that it did not expect layoffs, but that it was going to start budget cutting measures. That started, unfortunately, with the pilots and flight attendants in training first. And those poor folks who had just entered training were told they no longer had jobs. How awful would that be, being a new pilot, new flight attendant, in for your training, you know, a week or two into your training, all of a sudden, that very same company says, hey, COVID's here, you guys are out of a job. That sucks. And next was the reserve pilots or crew who are considered not essential because comparatively they did not fly a whole lot. And I don't know how they determined that. That's beyond me. After that, both parts and expendable items in the shop became barren. Even toilet paper for the shop became a precious resource. And we had guys in the shop stealing toilet paper and the tissue paper. I mean, stuff just started disappearing. And of course, this was already nationwide. Toilet paper, disinfectants, soaps, all that stuff was disappearing off the shelves and you couldn't get it. So those of us who wanted it, we had to bring it in ourselves. And it got so bad that even the most plentiful parts that we would have disappeared. Small things like speed tape, bulbs, fasteners, filters, even spare tires. You know, they were used, boom, they were gone. They weren't replaced. Even nitrogen and O2 became a commodity because the vendor that we had that serviced our nitrogen and our O2, they were closed. They were shut down. And we were told that the company did not want to pay for shipping to all the different line stations. Well, that's absolute bullshit because it's COMAT. Everything that they shipped anyways was shipped on their own aircraft for nothing. And then we find out later that the company wasn't even purchasing these items. And so there was nothing to COMAT. Things like LRUs, engine parts, avionics, even some of the tooling became a nightmare to get. We were actually going to different companies on the field and saying, hey, do you have this? Do you have that? And like, no, we don't have that. And if we did, we're not sharing it with you. So we ended up literally parking aircraft because we had no parts to maintain them. We're going into the same boat as everybody else. PPE was non-existent. You wanted masks? You wanted gloves? You get them yourself because the shop wasn't providing them. The shop had none. There were guys that wanted to wear bunny suits onto the aircraft. There were no bunny suits left. So, and then they would start getting pissed off. Soap in the bathroom to wash your hands? Forget it. It was gone. It was stolen. You sit in the crapper? You want to wipe your ass? Good luck. You got a cardboard roll. So again, we started bringing our own stuff from home, locked it up in our lockers, hope that no one stole it. Even ops checks or functional checks on the aircraft. That was scary because you didn't know if the pilot sitting in it before you had COVID. I was masked up. I even wore a respirator at one point over the mask, which is a little dramatic, but that's what I did. I wore gloves, even to do ops checks in the flight deck because you just didn't know that person in the seat before you if they had COVID. It became a real juggle between protecting yourself and still wanting to perform the work that had to be done. Things are just getting so bad around the country. It got to that point, like, we have to save ourselves as people first and foremost. So by the second month, other airlines, they're already letting people go, right? And in droves. And other aviation companies were letting people go. Flights were disappearing altogether. We got lucky. We maybe got 20 flights a day, if that, from the high-end 350-ish flights down to 20. You know, that makes for a boring day, though. Fortunately for me, by that time, my wife was pregnant, and I had already decided at that time to take a hiatus from work. It didn't matter in the long run because the layoffs came anyways, so I was still screwed, still let go. And now it's 2021. We have better research, a few vaccines that are hit and miss. Airlines now have better sanitation methods. Procedures in place are much more improved, and companies are starting to bring their furloughed employees back. Things are starting to look on the up and up, and I'm very grateful for that. But it's still going to be a real uphill battle in aviation. I think it was about 40% of airline aviation maintenance employees are still out of work, still finding it hard to get back in. Many are changing careers altogether because they have to. MROs nationwide laid off about 50,000 employees, and they are struggling. Although they're starting to bring some of those furloughed, laid off people back, a lot of them, they just left aviation. So they have to try and find those people. I mean, there used to be, you know, months before COVID hit, there was a shortage of workers. And now there's an overabundance of people needing work. You know, and not to mention our pilots and crew. Look how many of them, by the thousands, lost their jobs. How many of them are out of work trying to find work who are struggling? COVID hit everybody very hard. I read an article that said it likely will not be until late 2022 or 2023 until things start to return to pre-pandemic levels. As an aircraft mechanic who dealt with COVID during the very beginning, and to those aircraft mechanics who are dealing with COVID currently, you know, hats off to you guys. So the next time you feel the need to complain about an aircraft mechanic fixing your plane, being too slow, why is it taking so long? Think twice about what they and others must endure and have endured to keep that aircraft flying. Don't be a douchebag. Just give them a break. So that's my two cents on COVID and how it's affected the aviation maintenance industry and how it continues to affect those who work within it. So if you have any questions, thoughts, concerns, or if you want to share your stories and experiences live on this podcast, feel free to reach out to me at apmechanicpodcast@aol.com. That's apmechanicpodcast@aol.com. You can also find me on Twitter at goodbadugly_AMP or Facebook at goodbadugly_AP. So thanks so much, folks, for tuning in and listening to this podcast. Remember, we'll be releasing a podcast at the first and last Friday of every month. Certainly appreciate you guys tuning in. And until next time, be safe, take care of yourselves.